quote, unrealistic expectations.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Bill Radke. Remember a year ago when the government told us it was giving more than $100 billion to some of America's biggest banks? Oh, they were healthy. They were just taking the money for the good of the system. That's what we were told. But an audit released this morning says we were misled and we shouldn't have been. Marketplace's Tamara Keith has more.
The first infusion of cash from the Troubled Asset Relief Program went to 9 banks. At the time, Treasury Secretary Paulson called them healthy. The message was basically, don't worry, these banks aren't in trouble. We're just giving them $125 billion so they can increase lending. In today's audit, however, the Special Inspector General for the TARP says it quickly became clear some of those institutions weren't healthy at all, which hurt the credibility of the government bailout program. But the Treasury official now in charge of the bailout says last year's quick action prevented a meltdown. In Washington, I'm Tamara Keith for Marketplace.
3 Americans have been awarded the Nobel Prize for Medicine this morning. They discovered a built-in protection device in chromosomes, a finding that could shed light on both aging and cancer. Merck is developing a vaccine now involving this enzyme, telomerase. Phase 1 trials are underway. Trading is underway in Europe, and stocks are mixed there. Earlier today, Asian markets were mostly lower. Wall Street had a bad time of it again last week. Stocks lost about 2%, and the Dow closed Friday at 9,487. Hundreds of pilots are staging a protest today at airports across Europe. They're handing out fake boarding passes that carry this warning: pilots' fatigue is putting lives at risk. We get more now from Stephen Beard in London.
The pilots say that in the scramble to cut costs, airlines are working their crews longer and jeopardizing safety. They blame the European regulators for not tightening the rules on flying hours. At the moment, air crews are permitted to work up to 14 hours a day, and they can be expected to fly for 60 hours a week for 3 weeks in a row. That's not a reassuring prospect for passengers, says Philippe von Schoppentauer, one of the organizers of today's protest.
I don't know whether you would want to be on board of a plane where the pilot is just at the end of the third week and at the end of this third 60-hour working week.
He says there's clear scientific evidence that these long hours cause pilot fatigue, a factor in at least 15% of air accidents. The European Air Safety Regulator says it's studying a scientific report on the issue and will finalise new rules by the year 2011. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
Canada's mayors say they're withdrawing their threat to boycott U.S. suppliers. This was a retaliation for Buy American provisions in U.S. stimulus projects. The provisions said stimulus projects have to use only American-made steel, iron, and other manufactured goods. The Federation of Canadian Municipalities says it's encouraged by talks now underway between Canadian and U.S. officials.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by The Economist, covering news and ideas from around the world and the connections between them. The Economist, on newsstands, in bookstores, and at economist.com. And by Monsanto, committed to sustainable agriculture, creating hybrid and biotech seeds designed to increase crop yields and conserve natural resources. Produce more, conservemore.com.
Why does the stock market do what it does? Is it bubbles inflating and popping? Is it about earnings and asset values? Or is there something bigger? For all of time, people have looked for the secrets of cycles, from mathematics to the movements of stars. In the New Yorker magazine's Money issue out today, staff writer Nick Palmgarten talks about some of these cycle theories. Good morning, Nick.
Good morning, Bill.
The stars show up, also the Fibonacci sequence, made famous in the Da Vinci Code. Why do we feel the need to find patterns like these?
Well, I suppose we have a human need to find patterns in everything. It's how we hunt. It's how we escape the killer lion. It's how we plant things for the season. So we have a tendency to look for patterns in everything. I think the market often seems senseless. No matter how much research we do, it's still a mystery to us. So I think it's natural for us to seek patterns in it.
You write that these cycle theories get a lot more popular in down markets than in good times.
Yeah, that's what they tell me. I think it has to do with the fact that when things are going well, we think we're responsible for it. And when things go badly, then we want to sort of disavow responsibility for having things go to hell, and instead we seek other explanations, sometimes sort of mystical explanations.
Your central character in your story is this former hedge fund manager who had a lot of his success in Asia, where the idea of cycles seems less far-fetched than it does in the West.
That's true. You know, he had a prediction. He called the day that was the highest of the Nikkei before it crashed in 1989. And as a result of that call and the fact that he sort of believes in these cycles, he had a very sympathetic audience in Asia, and it helped him do business there.
He used the irrational number pi.
Yes. He believes that things happen in cycles of 3,141 days, which, of course, as everyone knows, is pi times 1,000, which is 8.6 years.
Well, did you find that there seems to be anything to any of these theories?
There are occasional uncanny hits. It's possible you can throw out 1,000 predictions, and when two of them hit, you can trumpet those predictions. What I think it does, it forces you to think about things in a different way. And it's always healthy to think about things in a different way, think about markets in a different way. You know, perhaps there are forces at work that we don't understand. I think it's at least wise to consider the possibility.
New Yorker staff writer Nick Palmgarten, great to talk to you. I guess I'll see you again in exactly 8.6 years.
I hope so. Thank you very much.
And finally, you thought downsizing was hard? At least you're not biting people in the chest. When Francis Jacques Chirac left the presidency, he, his wife, and his dog Sumo went from the Elysian Palace to a Paris apartment. And apparently Sumo is not a city dog. After biting his master and being treated unsuccessfully for depression, the Maltese Bichon Terrier has been sent to a farm in the French countryside. And let's hope that means he has been sent to a farm in the French countryside. In Los Angeles, I'm Bill Radke. People are using music to liven up their downturn, and so can you. We've got a feature at our website, Recession Rocks, including a Marketplace playlist. It's all at marketplace.org. Thanks for tuning in. Have a good Monday.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.